know about following the children. That would be hard, but also following David after doing communion. I don't know about you, but there's times that before I do communion, there's fear. And when you think about that, there should be fear. Because what we should be realizing is that aside from the body and blood of Jesus, we would have no hope of life, no hope of eternity. All we would have is a knowledge of hell. And that's all we would deserve apart from the body and the blood of Jesus. He is our only hope. He is our only hope of salvation. And so just as David was saying that we need to examine ourselves, we need to realize that, yes, he's forgiven us. And yes, by the blood of Jesus, our sin is removed as far as the east is from the west. But just how awesome of a sacrifice that is. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we are so grateful and thankful to you for your incredible love, that you are the atonement for our sins. Lord, we are so thankful that you did not leave us without hope, that you did not leave us without a way of salvation. Lord, that all we have to do is look to you. And you cleanse us, you redeem us, you give us your hope, you give us the joy of your salvation. Lord, I pray today you will give us understanding of your word by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a joyful day for me. My wife is back from 3 weeks being in Poland, and I'm sure little by little you will hear some of the awesome things that the Lord did. She's still pretty raw from the trip. it was incredible. The Lord moved in so many ways. And yet at the same time, it's a very emotional trip for her as well. Please turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to be starting today in verse 7. 'Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God.' It's interesting because if you look at the wording here, when John starts off, he says, "Dear friends," but that's also in the Greek, it's agapetos, agapetos, yeah, something like that. Anyways, but it means loved ones. It means loved ones. In other words, he starts off with this term of endearment, and he's basically saying, beloved, loved ones, let us love one another. You know, God had given John this passion. First, a passion for the Lord. Remember what it says about John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. It doesn't mean he didn't love the other disciples, but what it means is there was a special passion and friendship and love between John and Jesus. There was a closeness, a kinship. You know, John was the one that was the last one to leave, even when Jesus was being crucified. And it says that he possibly even stood afar off. He didn't completely leave. He kind of was still in the area. But there was this love, and you see the same love, the same passion that Jesus had for John, John now has for the whole body. For the other believers. You know, we are all given different gifts. We are all commanded to love. However, I do believe that God gives an extra amount of love to some people in the body. Not that he loves them more, but he gives them the gift of being able to love others unconditionally. I know I have experienced unconditional love in my life, and it is incredible. When you actually experience love that is completely undeserved, that has no conditions put on it other than that person cares for you, even when you absolutely don't deserve it, you start to get an idea of God's love for us. And John, I believe, had this gift of love and communicating love. And what he's saying to us as the body is that we need to love each other. We need to share this unconditional love that God has given us with each other. See, our love should be a commitment, not a condition. It shouldn't be based on what other people do. It should be based on being obedient to what the Lord has commanded us to do. I should not love you because you're good to me, because you treat me nicely, but because the Lord has commanded me to, because he has loved me. And this is what John is saying here. Dear friends, let us love one another. And that dear friends, once again, is loved ones. Let us love. Now, this love that it's talking about is actually the action of loving. The action of loving. Agapeo. And it's love in action. Let us actively love each other. See, there's a commitment, and there's an action involved in loving. It doesn't just mean good things that you do. That is definitely part of it. But it's going about with a commitment in your mind and in your heart that today I'm actively going to love. I'm going to choose to put others before myself. That's hard. That's not easy. It's especially hard in your own family. Where we should be loving the most is sometimes the hardest, usually the hardest to love. See, we can come to church on Sunday or Saturday. We can come to church and we can love people while we're at church many times, at least outwardly. But this love is something that is daily in our life. It's active in our life. It's a commitment. And that's where John is saying, this is what we need to come to. Not just treating each other nicely, not just being kind, but truly loving. It says, for love comes from God. The word now that he's using for love. So you have three different words that are love. First one is agapetos, which is loved ones. Then agapeo, which is the action of loving. And now he says, for love comes from God, and that's agape. Love comes from God. And once again, you have this idea when it says agape, that this is the love that comes from God is so much beyond our comprehension and our understanding. But it's also sloppy love. It's agape. It's a love feast. It's a festival of love. You have this idea that God just is so full of love that he overflows it. He can't help but overflow love. Love comes from God. It overflows. That's what he wants to do in your life and mine. He wants to overflow love upon us. But not so we can just hoard it and be selfish about it and enjoy his love just for ourselves, but so we can love, do the same thing with others. And so that's the idea here, is this agape. And this word ex is the word that comes from. It means to come from, an ex in the Greek. It is completed. When it says come from God, it means love is completed or exists in all its fullness in God. That's the idea that John is trying to get across here. Is love is perfected in God. It exists in all the fullness it can possibly exist in God. Our definition of love should not be worldly. It should be godly. It should exist in Him. It should come from Him. His definition, how He defines it in the Word of God. That is love. Outside of that, it's not love. It might be affection. It might be a good feeling. It might be lust. But it's not love. Love is defined as the Word of God defines it. And love comes ultimately only from God. For God is love. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Okay, so here's the question there. If everyone who loves has been born of God, well, does that mean people that are showing love are really believers? No. See, that's not what this is saying. This is saying, basically, that you can't show love without the Lord. You can't really love until your heart is changed by the Holy Spirit. Only then can we love as God commands us to love. The reality is the world has no real concept of love. And unfortunately, many times the church has very little concept of love because we base our definition of it on the world instead of on the Word of God. Love is not a feeling. Feelings arise sometimes as a result of love. But love is not a feeling. Love is not just an emotion. Love is not just how we, when we treat somebody nicely. It's not kindness. It's not tolerance. Love is defined by the Word of God. It comes from God, and it is part of God, and it overflows from Him. True love only comes as a result of a life-changing experience with the Lord by receiving the free gift of salvation. We're going to see here in a second how we know what love is. But it says here, everyone who loves, in the definition that John is talking about here, everyone who has this love has been born of God and knows God. To truly love, you have to be regenerated by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit. We must be born of God and have the knowledge that only the Spirit of God can give. 1 Corinthians 2:14 through 16. It says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. See, apart from the mind of Christ, you and I cannot truly love. If I'm thinking with my own mind and with my own thoughts, I can't love you. I might do something nice to you so you'll do it back. I might do something where my motivations might be seemingly pure, but there's always something there without the mind of Christ. If it's done in my own strength, there's always a selfish motivation. And see, God's love is not selfish. God's love is selfless. How do we know this? Because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I believe the Word of God teaches that Christ, Jesus, died for all sinners. All sinners. All sinners of all time, even those that shake their fist at him and say, "I don't want your blessing. I don't want your sacrifice." Even those, he died for their sin, and he loves them. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He died for everyone, which shows his selfless love, because there are some people he's never going to get anything back from, but he still loves them, and he will love them for all eternity. We can't even imagine the pain, the emotional pain that the Lord goes through and went through for us. Being love, being the answer, being the sacrifice, and watching people reject him. Being able to answer and meet all our needs. And yet, even as believers, even those of us who claim the name of Jesus, sometimes we still reject him because we think somehow the world will satisfy us more. And yet he loves. Whoever does not love does not know God. Here's why. Because God is love. Whoever cannot love or is without the capacity to love, then they cannot know God. For God is love. See, without Jesus, we're not able to love. This is saying whoever does not love does not know God. You have to go back up to verse 7. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Verse 8, whoever does not love does not know God. Because God is love. Now, the question would be, does that mean every time I do not act in a loving way that I lose my salvation? No, that's not what this is saying. But what it is saying is that when I'm not acting in a loving way, I'm not walking in the Spirit. And I don't know the mind of God. I'm not paying attention. I'm not walking in his Spirit. I'm not listening to his direction. I'm going my own way. That doesn't mean I'm not a child of God, but it does mean for a believer that I don't know what God is doing at that time. I'm certainly not doing what God tells me to do. But for the world, for those that don't know Jesus, have never received Jesus, they don't even have the capacity to truly love. They don't have the capacity because they don't have the Holy Spirit. They do not have knowledge of God on any level. That is why it says that we are to be light to the world. What we do when we are light to the world, one of the primary things is we bring an understanding and a knowledge of God's love to the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. See, Jesus didn't come to condemn. He came as the light. He came to show love. He came to show God as love. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. The man or woman who is not a child of God is incapable of love that pleases God. See, that's the type of love we're talking about here. Love that is pleasing to God. Actually, I'll take this a little further. Even as believers, when we choose not to love, we break fellowship with God. And it is like we do not know him. As believers, when I choose not to, as a believer, when I choose not to love, I'm breaking fellowship with God. I'm still a believer, but I'm not walking in the Spirit. I'm choosing to be disobedient because he has commanded me to love. This is why, before we take communion, we need to search our hearts. Because I don't know about you, but I haven't loved all week like I should. Not by this definition. Because some of my motivations this week have been selfish. There are times this week I haven't walked in the Spirit like God calls me to. That I haven't loved like I should. This is why we constantly come back to the table and we remember what Jesus did for us. This is why it says, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you might be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Confess your sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are commanded to love. And when we choose not to love, it's sin. It's sin. Not loving is sin. Because it says right here, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now, the difference between those who have never received the Lord and those of us who have is that we are capable of loving by the power of the Holy Spirit, not in our own strength. See, just as we cannot keep the Torah, we cannot keep God's law in our own strength, we cannot love in our own strength. Remember what Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. You keep these two commandments, you have fulfilled the whole law and the prophets. The catch there is how hard it is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. See, we have this attitude many times of love that is so surface. It's so surface. Oh, yeah, I was loving this week. Except for that one person. They just didn't deserve it. I was loving this week as long as everybody did what I wanted them to do. I treated everybody nicely. I was happy. But what did you say after you walked away in your mind? What about the criticism that goes on in our hearts towards other people? The way we judge them. Sometimes we even say it to others, but sometimes it's just in here. That's not love. See, That's why it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And love your neighbor just like you love yourself. The reality is most of us, not all of us maybe, but most of us love ourselves a whole lot. A whole lot. A whole lot more than we would even admit. Are we as judgmental about ourselves as we are about others? Some of you might be. Some of you might be more judgmental about yourself. But that's something you have to give to the Lord. But sometimes, and most of the time, we are way more judgmental about others. We are to love as God has commanded us to love. And that's a commitment. That's a choice. It's a decision. It's a daily decision to die to self and to love as God has commanded. Sometimes it's a minutely decision. Sometimes a second. Because of the way our minds work. Sometimes we start off really good loving people, and then somebody does something and we become very unloving very quickly. If we're walking in the Spirit, we won't be offended. We will love. Is it impossible to love? No, it's not. Not with the power of the Holy Spirit. Will love take sacrifice? Yes, always. Love demands sacrifice of us. Sacrifice of what we want. Sacrifice of our pride, sacrifice of our sin. Love and sin cannot coexist. Love and fear, perfect love, cast out all fear, cannot coexist. If we're fearing anyone but God, we're not loving. If we're sinning, we can't really love. Even as believers, when we choose not to love, we break fellowship with God, and it is like we do not know him. But if we walk in the light, 1 John 1:6-7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. This is how God showed his love among us. Verse 9 of 1 John 4. See, this is our definition of love. It gives us the definition of love right here. This is how God showed his love. Remember it says God is love? This is how he shows his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Remember, it goes back to that whole idea that apart from the life that we receive from Jesus, we have no hope of life, of spiritual life, even physical life. We have no hope apart from the life that comes from Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So this is how God shows his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. The word for showing is phanero, or phaneru. And it means to render or make apparent. This is how he makes apparent his love to us. To sent. We were talking about this morning. The word actually here used for sent, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent, apostello. Sent, set apart, to send. Properly on a mission. See, God sent his son on a mission to this world. In Hebrews, as we brought up this morning in the Sunday school class. If you get a chance, please attend. It's been really good going through 1 Timothy. But in Hebrews, a little plug there. But in Hebrews, it talks about Jesus being an apostle sent by God. One sent out to accomplish a mission. And he was on a mission of love, according to John, 1 John. This is how we know God loves us. Jesus was sent. Jesus was sent. It's interesting because this is not just a New Testament concept. It's also an Old Testament concept. Isaiah 42:1. Isaiah 42:1. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. Isaiah 42:1. God, here you see God is saying, this is my servant whom I will uphold, my chosen one. That word chosen one is my sent one, the appointed one, the one I'm appointing. But this is really awesome, in whom I delight. That word for delight is only used in reference to the servant of God. There's only one word in Scripture for delight that is used for the servant of God. There's a lot of words in Scripture for delight. Delight thyself in the Lord and all these other words, but those are different words in Hebrew. This word means specifically this: to be pleased with, specifically to satisfy a debt. That's the delight that God takes in his servant. It's only used in reference to the servant of the Lord, who, if you look at Scripture in Isaiah 53, the one who bears our iniquities, who takes upon himself our sins. That servant is the one the Lord is pleased with and the one he has sent out. And he is pleased with because that's the only one who can satisfy the debt. Jesus. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And that word for live is zoa, or zeo, to live or have life. But it's interesting because in this translation it says that we might live through him. Actually, what that word, we might live through him, is that's the only channel of life. That's the only means of life. The word dia actually means the channel of an act, the means, how we acquire life in this world. Do you know what this is actually saying? With this, I'm going to close. But what this is actually saying is, for you and I, as believers, this gets old after a while. But the reality is, our only purpose is to find life in him. Our existence, our life from our creation, from the very beginning, from when we came out of our mother's womb, was to find him, to live in him. The only means, the only channel of true life is through Jesus. Which means that those of us who know the Lord, we need to be living and walking in his Spirit. We need to be walking and loving as he's commanded us to. That's the only way you're going to enjoy life. See, even the parts of life that seem hard, when you have this understanding, you enter into the fellowship of his sufferings. When our hearts and our minds are aligned with him, all of life becomes life, and that more abundantly. But there are a lot of people you know and a lot of people I know who have no purpose, no meaning, no understanding, no way to truly love. And the Lord has commanded us to be light. Wherever he's put you, he's commanded you to be light. See, it's not a matter of are you good at it or not. It's a matter of just being obedient. He'll give you the words to say. He'll show you how to be light in your workplace, in your family. Wherever God puts you, he will show you how to be light. It's a matter of being obedient. If you're fearful, it's a lack of love. I'm saying that for myself too. When we're fearful to share his love, it's because we're lacking love. Because when you're overwhelmed with love, you become like John. Loved ones, love one another. John didn't have any problem expressing himself when it came to love. And he really didn't care what anybody else thought about loving. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I pray that you will change our hearts when it comes to love, Lord. I know I have so much to learn. And Lord, I know I have so much growing to do in the area of love. Lord, we know from your word that that is your goal for us, is to become like you, and you are perfect in love. And your goal is for us to become like you, to become perfect in love. So, Lord, we trust you for the regeneration of our hearts and of our minds. Lord, help us to humble ourselves before you. Forgive us, Lord, for the times, even this week, that we have not loved as you've called us to. Help us to humble ourselves and confess those to you and move on, walking in your spirit. Lord, we acknowledge that our only life comes from you. We pray this in Jesus' name, to your glory and to your honor. Amen.
Let's go ahead and stand and take out our hymnals and turn to hymn number 303. Let's stand as we sing, People Need the Lord.
People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord? People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize
Father, it's been so good to be in your house this morning and in your presence. Father, we just ask that you would keep us reminded in the days to come of who we are and who we belong to, that we are not our own, that we were bought with a price, with the precious blood of Jesus. And so it is now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be both glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Shalom.